About what's really going on. No one's got the guts to tell the truth. Righteousness is taking a stand. Holiness has drawn its line. The righteous will take it by force and push the evil one back this time. In the name of Jesus. Pray in the name of Jesus. Now listen, it ain't flesh and blood, righteous wars against. It's the evil spirit that's in this world that we totally come against. The only way to win this war is in our churches and in our homes. Pray to the Father in the Holy Ghost in the name of Jesus. Jesus. Pray in the name of Jesus.
That, you know, that just says it all, folks. I really can't add a whole lot to that at all. Welcome here to 7x70. That's Mike Platt J in the name of Jesus. And that's the name we gather in here. I got Brother Tim on the line with me. Good evening, Tim.
Good evening, Richard. Good evening, everyone.
And
glad to be here.
Thank you for joining us, Tim, and you, the remnant. And we do gather. And that, if you like that music, that is from the late Michael Platt J CD, I Felt Your Love. And it has about 10 songs on there and 9 songs on the other CD, Bow Down. And we have them both available if you'd like them. I think we
good
ask
music.
For a $20 donation for both of them. And great, great music. And a lot of his songs, you know, when he came and met the pastor and came to our church, he said, you know, he got kicked out of churches for playing songs like that. In the name of Jesus, and another one, what was it, give me those keys, Satan, give me those keys. He said people would ask him not to come back to their church. No, we don't want you singing that kind of stuff around our church. So we did just the opposite. We loved it, and pastor loved it.
In the name of Jesus, that was a compliment to him, I think.
Amen.
You know?
Amen.
I mean, if they didn't want you there, well, he said, you know,
dust
what did our
feet.
Master say?
Yeah.
Yep,
dust your feet.
Feet
off and,
move out.
Interesting, you read when he, that's when Jesus first sent the disciples out, and he said, you know, the first time, don't take anything, go, and he said, you get to a house, he said, you tell them, you know, peace be upon your house, and it was like if they would accept that, I forget exactly how it reads, but I think that's the gist of it, if they would accept that, then he said, you stay there, you know? And but some would, some just wouldn't. And anyway, well, folks, it is 7x70. It's live radio coming to you from a snowy radio ranch. It is springtime in the Rockies, and I was telling Brother Tim right before we came on the air, my boys and I, we got all the cattle fed here just before we went on the radio, and about 5 minutes before radio time, the skies opened up and the snow is just coming down sideways. It's a beautiful sight, I tell you, for this Florida boy that grew up in Florida, you know, expecting to be swatting mosquitoes and running the air conditioner this time of the year. This is a welcome change. It is. And you know, sometimes we get tired of the snow. We think we do. But, you know, God works all things, not just some things, but all things for good there in Romans 8:28. And so, you know, this snow is a little... Hey, the cows, they got their fur coat, and we've got hay out to them, and the moisture that this snow brings. And you know, Tim, you said you guys are expecting to kind of get hammered this weekend with it. And,
yes,
you know, it's moisture that we need. It fits weather.
Oh, yeah.
And we love God. Romans 8:28. We know that God causes all things to work together for good to those who love God. And I know there's a little more to that, but that part of it covers it. And so, Lord, thank you for the snow. Get the families home traveling. Get them home safe, we pray. But thank you for the snow. Thank you for it. So, well, again, folks, we welcome you 7x70. We make a quick plug here for the Bible reading plan. Hopefully you're reading it. And I finally got caught up on it. And that's March. Let me see. I got April in here somewhere in my Bible. I think I do. Maybe I pulled it out already. But the April Bible reading plan, hopefully you're reading it and following the plan. You can't go wrong. And you will find, I've found anyway, that every time you read the Bible, you will find a hidden gem. You'll find something that doesn't matter how many times you have read, time and time again, you'll find something that you haven't seen there before. I really think that you will, you know. Today's April 28th in our Bible reading plan, 1 Kings 3 through 5, and Luke 20, the first part of Luke 20, 1 through 26. And we could spend the rest of the evening talking about these verses.
Amen.
But anyway, so we encourage you, read your Bible, folks. Read your Bible. We're not begging you.
I heard it said.
Go ahead.
I heard it said one time, Richard, that you're not reading your Bible again. Every time you read it, you're reading it for the first time because you've learned from the last time. So you've hopefully learned new things. So you're reading it fresh again from a totally new perspective. Every time through it, it's all new.
Makes sense.
So you know.
Makes sense. Well. Awesome. We got plenty of current events going on, and maybe we'll get to them. I know everybody else and their brother's covering them, but we sure like to cover more scriptural stuff and biblical stuff and spiritual stuff if we can. And yesterday, Tim had texted me a little note that we just didn't have time to get to it last night on the Wednesday night prayer meeting. And so I invited Tim back tonight because I thought, I'd like to... I'm going to write these down. I've got them on my text, but I'm going to write them down. And I think it's something good. So, Tim, you had talked about these seven P's, the capital letter P. I think I got a book called 10 P's in a Pod, but it's a different thing you're talking about. So why don't you take a few minutes and put that out, and I'm going to take a couple notes,
okay.
and we'll talk about that.
Seven steps to power in prayer. And the Lord just kind of... put this on my mind. As a matter of fact, before I usually come on one of these evenings on the radio, which they're a blessing to me. I mean, it's always an opportunity. I want to add, but a blessing from the Lord. But this just kind of occurred to me. I was thinking about our pound and pulverizer prayers, and I was like, I wonder how many. Prayer starts with a P, pound starts with a P, pulverized starts with a prayer with a P. And I started thinking about it, and the Lord just kind of kept on. And I've learned when that happens, I grab a piece of paper and I just start jotting things down. And
sure.
It kind of filled out. There's seven P's that are, and there may be more, I'm not saying there aren't, but there's seven P's there that come out in prayer that we can do. And the first one is plead. The second one is petition. The third one is pound. The fourth one is pulverize. And pardon and praise. And I ordered those in a way that seemed the way that we should pray. When we come to the Lord, we bring our plea to Him.
Yes,
our
we do.
Plea for His hearing. Sure. And then when, Lord, here I am, and he says, I'm listening, and then you give him your petition, which is your what you want. And what you want can be any number of things from pound pulverized, pardon. Oh, and that was just six. I left parry out. I'm sorry. Petition, parry goes in there, like when you parry in a sword fight.
Sure.
Or you do that. I beg your pardon about that. But anyways, parry, pound, pulverize, pardon, and praise. And we have all these abilities out of the Bible to do that. And we make our petition. Our petition may be, Lord, take this cup from me. That would be a what? A parry, probably. Or we may say, when we're praying for someone else, we say, Lord, take that away from them. We defend them through our prayers, you know, or we force the brunt of that attack somewhere else. Pound and pulverize are attacking prayers, or you know, where we come against the enemies of God or the enemies of that are affecting people or ourselves, and we pray that they be, whatever it might be, done to them in an offensive sort of fashion.
Yes.
Pardon. We may ask for someone to be pardoned. We ask God to pardon our sins. Lord, forgive my sins, both known and unknown. That's praying for pardon. And praise is, I'm sure everyone knows, you know, Lord, thank you for hearing my prayer and answering it. And I kind of started looking up a few things, and I thought, well, the P thing kind of interested me as far as the letter P went, so I looked that up a little bit, did a little look up on ancient Hebrew, and it's very interesting. P is the symbol in ancient Hebrew, and practically every other Anglo language on the planet. The pictogram that goes back, way back, is the mouth. It means to open the mouth, to blow with the mouth, to scatter with the mouth, or to use the mouth as an edge, or to speak.
Yeah, to speak. And that makes sense.
And I thought, well, in light of prayer, isn't that interesting that we can do all those things? So I went to my Bible and I did some looking, and Psalms 89, David says in Psalms 89. Let's see. He says, just start with 89:1. I will sing of the loving kindness of the Lord forever. To all generations I will make known thy faithfulness with my mouth. That's the P word. I mean, that's, yes. It means mouth. For I have said, loving kindness will be built up forever in the heavens. Thou wilt establish thy faithfulness. I have made a covenant with my chosen. I have sworn to David, my servant, I will establish your seed forever and build up your throne to all generations. And I was like, well, there's the mouth. And, of course, in that also takes you to praise. And
you know what, Tim, if I could interject something there, you know, you're talking about with the mouth and you know, to say, a couple things come to mind. When Jesus talked about praying, you know, they said, Lord, teach us to pray. And he said, when you pray, say. You know, now that means that every prayer has to be out loud. You know, there's many times we pray in the Spirit. There's many times we pray silently. We hear about going in our prayer closet. We hear about going to, the prayers offered in, in silence are heard by God. And, you know, we're not to be as the Pharisees and stand on the street corner and, you know, oh, Lord, here we come before thee, and that's not what God wants. And, but there's times, he says, when you pray, say. And then, in this verse, you know, when we understand baptism, let me jump in left field here. When we understand baptism, then you read that Bible, and like you said, Tim, you're reading it for the first time. You see baptism throughout the Old Testament. They didn't call it baptism.
Amen.
They didn't call it baptism. They called, and you see it even throughout the New Testament when they talk about being washed and things like that. And that's in the physical, of course, that's what it alludes back to. You see it everywhere. Well, when you talk about this using your mouth, your words, saying, you know, we plead to God, we petition to God, we ask pardon, we praise Him, we are told, you know, That's what we're to do. We are to praise Him in our words, mm-hmm. in our lives, in our actions. Revelation 12:11 says they overcame Him, meaning the enemy, because of the blood of the Lamb and because of the word of their testimony. They didn't overcome because of their belief. They didn't overcome because they believed that Jesus was God. They overcame because of the blood of the Lamb, because He is, and because of the word of their testimony. Because they said, yes, I'm a Christian. They said, yes, Target, I'm not gonna spend my money there anymore. They said, yes, wait a minute. Have you ever heard of this man named Jesus Christ, who was the Son of God, who was and is yet to come, and who came and died on the cross to save you from your sins because He loved you even while you're a sinner? You ever heard of that guy? Let me introduce you to Him. They weren't ashamed of Him, and so He's not ashamed of them. And I like your seven steps here, these P. The, when you mentioned that about petition, I turned to 1 Timothy 2. And I just want to read a couple verses here because I think it applies. And it's a call to prayer. And so that's what we're talking about, prayer. And there's no hard and fast rule. If you want to make, you were making coleslaw the other day. You know, there's several different ways to make coleslaw, right? Several that's different right. ways. Well, guess what? There's several different ways to pray. There are. We had coleslaw last night too. As a matter of fact, the family made it, and it was good. I'm sure it was a little different than yours, but it was still good, and I'm sure yours was great. Prayer is that way, folks. Okay, I can remember years back. My father-in-law brought us into this to Christianity, but he was not one that prayed a lot in public around us, but a situation came up, and I remember him saying, listen, prayers, hey, it's just sitting down and talking to God and letting Him know, and that's what we did. We sat around, and it was like God was there sitting in the lazy boy chair beside us, and we just talked to Him. Lord, we have a problem here. We need this fixed. Tell us, show us what we need to do. Forgive us. And it was like you and I talking here, Tim. Mm-hmm. So many different types of prayer. 1 Timothy 2 talks about that. Okay, Paul, an apostle of Christ Jesus, he's writing this to his child in the faith, Timothy, who he has brought up in the faith. Verse 2, or chapter 2, says, first of all, then, I urge that entreaties and prayers, petitions and thanksgivings be made on behalf of all men. And so he's telling us to include these things. You've got them right there. That's pleadings, entreaties, that's pleadings, and prayers, petitions, and thanksgivings. There's the praise, right? And so we see this right here. I urge that entreaties and prayers, petitions, and thanksgivings be made on behalf of all men, for kings and for all who are in authority, so that we may lead a tranquil and quiet life in all godliness and dignity. This is good and acceptable in the sight of God our Savior, who desires all men to be saved and to come to the knowledge of the truth. For there is, and then he tells what the truth is, for there is one God and one mediator also between God and men, the man Christ Jesus, who gave himself as a ransom for all, the testimony given at the proper time.
Amen. Praise the Lord.
I'm always reminded of the fact that, Adam was created and God came to the garden to speak with him. It says he came at an appointed time and walked with him and talked with him. We think, wow, that'd just be so incredible to have God just come and want to have a conversation with you.
Yeah.
The truth of the matter is He still does. The distance from you to God is the distance from where you're standing till your knees hit the floor. That was something my grandmother used to tell me. That's how far away God is. He's just from you to the, and all we have to do is, my grandmother was a very praying lady, and I can remember it was just like she was always talking to somebody she knew, you know. And she did. And it was never fancy. It was always friendly. And it was always respectful.
Sure.
But still, when you think about it, you know, that's what God wants from us, is for us to be conversant with Him, for us to, He says, bring me your needs, and what, like you read right there earlier, just, you know, pray, petition, praise. All these things are things we do for each other. We don't put on all kinds of airs when you and I talk on the phone. It's friends talking, you know. It's not trying to impress someone, whatever, you know, in a way that will gain you some kind of big kudos there or whatever.
Right.
God doesn't care about that. He even tells us not to pray that way, you know, like with wordy prayers and all drawn out and all fancy, or by rote. Anybody can memorize someone else's prayer. He didn't, even the Lord's Prayer, He said, pray in this manner. I mean, it was a blueprint. And
right.
I don't think it's wrong to pray the Lord's Prayer, but it gives us an idea of the things that we can say and ask for. And
I tell you what comes to mind that it does speak against is this, the Hail Marys. You know, because that's
absolutely
not even praying to God, and that is just a rote. That is just a monotonous, repeating, blah 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 blah. Yeah, that's all it is, and that is not what our God desires. That's not pleading. That's not petitioning. That's not praising. And when you read in the Word that He says, you know, I don't hear your prayers. I don't hear your endless pleadings, and that's what it's talking about. It's not talking about what you're describing, you know, and how we go to Him as a friend.
When you start to look into that letter P, which is spelled P-E, which is pronounced K in almost every one of those ancient white languages on the planet, whether it's Greek, in Greek it's Pi, but you know, the it's still P-I or P-E. It's either pay or pie. And first off, prayer pays. And the other thing, but one of the meanings of it was also expression. And I think the reason I was bringing that up was because of what you were saying about the road and the chance. And you know, when you memorize that kind of stuff, you get a meter going just so that you can get the words. Do they really mean something to you, or are you just repeating for the sake of repetition and perfection? Are you just repeating the words, you know?
Right.
And that's what a lot of people do. And God wants expression from us. He wants, you know, how often is it? I can't even explain to you, but I know sometimes last night at prayer meeting, you prayed for some of those people. I know we had one lady call in there, and it just burdened my heart. I mean, her tears were precious, you know. She,
yes.
It just left me, and I'm not exactly what you'd call a softy, but nevertheless, it affects me. It causes me to express things when I pray there, because I know that that's what God wants from us, is the expression, or the feeling, if you will, or the malleability of that heart of flesh, or that spirit there that wants to see God's will done, whether for whatever item it is that we're praying for. So that kind of came out in the when I seen that one, I was like, that's true. That's what God wants. Is he doesn't want us to just talk at Him. He wants us to talk to Him.
Right.
You know. And I think I think that's what a lot of that Catholic Hail Marys or whatever group that you're in that does that, I think it's just a thrown out there at something.
It sure seems like it is anyway, because you don't see the fruits, you don't, you know, you just it, it's it's just not worshiping God. You don't read it. You don't read it anywhere in the Word. You know, to do that. You know, you read in Matthew 6 to, you know, not to practice your righteousness before men. To have the endless repeatings. You know, when you pray, not to be as the hypocrites who stand and pray in order to be seen by men. Yes. You know, and so, and then Matthew 6, 7, and 8 tells us, don't use meaningless repetition, for they suppose that they will be heard by their many words. And, you know, we can be like the publican that just is, you know, Lord, forgive me. I'm just a sinner. Forgive me. And that, you know, parents who are made in the image of God, how do you feel when one of your children come to you and they apologize? You know, truly, you can tell when it's just saying I'm sorry because they, you know, want the car keys, versus when they're truly repentant. You know, and they don't have to be old enough to have the car keys. But, you know, when you're
just going through the motions.
Yeah, when they mean it, when they are sincere, when they sincerely repent from the heart, you know, and they come up and say, Dad, I'm sorry. I'm sorry I did this, or I'm sorry I said this, or I'm sorry I didn't do this, you know, and there's repentance there, you know. What do we do as evil fathers, as evil, the evil worldly fathers we are, that Christ called us that? What do? We forgive our children.
We forgive them. Sure.
We do.
And you even pity them. You pity the fact that error was even there so that they had to feel that way. Or at least that's the way I feel. I'm like, oh, man, I wish you didn't have to go through that, but I'm glad you figured it out.
Yeah.
So... I think our Lord does the same thing when we go to Him and ask for forgiveness and genuinely mean it. He not only forgives us, but He says I will gather them with what, great mercy, I believe it is. I can't think where that's at the moment, but nevertheless, we were scattered around Him, and when we were forgiven, He gathered you up, and that's the way you feel about them.
That's right.
I mean.
And he tells us to do that, to lift up our petitions to Him. And, you know, if you look up petitions to see what that word means, I had it here, it's a request, a supplication. And that's what we're to do, you know. We are to it's our request. And He tells us to do that. Of course, He knows our needs before we do, but He does. He kind of gives us an idea of how. Not hard and fast rules. You shall do this. It's not that way. It's never been that way.
No.
Just hadn't.
That's the free choice. Well, and I have told my children in the past that a suggestion from God has a lot more weight than suggestion from your, you know, from one of your friends or something. I mean, God's.
Yeah.
God, you know, don't do that. it'll cause you problems.
Yeah.
It comes across, but it's one of those perfect suggestions. In other words, if you were wise, you'd take it as a hard, fast, okay, not doing that.
Right.
So, you know, we see that.
Amen.
You know, a lot of, I know that I've heard people say, well, you know, that's not really a sin. It's not.
Yeah, they'll say, "Oh, well, it's not a commandment. That's not a command.
If it's
in the Bible, you can pretty much count on it being a, okay. So call it like you said, Tim, a strong suggestion, a better suggestion than anything you're going to get from one of your friends. You know,
exactly. Yeah,
it is. We tell our children, you know, everything is an example. Everybody. And everything is an example. Now, some things are good examples, and some things are bad examples. And so, you know, it's knowing the difference. You know, is it godly? Is it in line with the Scriptures? You know, is it as Christ, life and life abundantly? Does it bring that? Or is it things that steal, kill, and destroy, which are not of Christ, but are of Satan? And you know, I mean, my seven-year-old can figure some of those things out, you know. Have bad dreams or bad thoughts, and it's like, well, listen, you know, let's pray about it and take those thoughts captive and resist those thoughts, and they flee, they leave. Simple as that. Well, Tim, the phone line's ringing. Let's go to the phone line. Maybe it won't be a sales call. I was getting sales calls last week. Hey, good evening. Welcome to the Thursday night program.
Hi, guys.
Hey, Bob.
You know, concerning the use of that word petition as far as for prayer, do you remember back in the 60s there was a band called The Doors that did songs like Light My Fire and stuff like that?
Yeah, Jim Morrison, well, anyway, I think. Yeah.
There was... Yeah, I know that's probably before your time, but at any rate, you know, mega popular band in the 60s. And on their most popular album, that I think it was called Soft Parade, there was a between two tunes, there was this very strange thing that Jim Morrison did. There's a little bit of silence, and then he comes out and he says, back in seminary school, there was a man that put forth the proposition that you could petition the Lord in prayer. Petition the Lord in prayer? You cannot petition the Lord in prayer. And then you get a little bit of silence, and then some real eerie music, and then it goes into another tune. And you know, I hadn't heard that since way back in the 70s somewhere. And just a while back here, I heard it on the radio or somewhere again, and I thought, you know, I've heard that expression somewhere before. Because you know, the use of that exact expression, petitioning the Lord in prayer, is something you just don't hear outside the church. So I thought, where the heck did I hear that? Then all of a sudden it hit me. You know, in the book of Enoch, where right after the angels fell, and they were sitting there all forlorn and really, really bothered about the situation, they called Enoch over to them, and they said, we want you to put together, or we've put together this petition that we wish you to take to the Lord to see if we can be forgiven for this. And Enoch comes back the next day and he says, nope, the Lord will not hear your petition. Your petition for prayer has been denied. So you see, they cannot petition the Lord in prayer. Those fallen angels could no longer petition the Lord in prayer.
Amen.
So what did they make one of their first works to do for you back here in the 60s? Take the prayer out of the schools. They don't have a prayer, and they don't want you using it either.
Yep. Didn't Christ say that about them? They don't enter into the kingdom, and they do all they can to keep others from entering.
But you know, it's a crazy
it's what
thing
they do.
With that. The crazy thing with that Jim Morrison tune, because that was such a strange thing for this drugged out hippie kind of a guy, at that time in his probably in his late teens, early 20s, to be using an expression like that.
Mm-hmm.
I thought, man, you know, could it be that he's got an ancient demon in him that's been there for that was there back in that time, and this is an exact echoing of real truth in his world, even?
Yeah, absolutely. They put those things out, you know. They put those things out. You know, you remember Pastor used to teach that they present the truth as a lie and we can believe it, our people. And then they present the lie as a truth and our people believe that. And they do it in their movies, they do it in their books, they certainly do it in their songs. Since you mentioned that about Jim Morrison and The Doors, I can think, you know, several times the pastor would use, music clips and bits and pieces from movies and videos. And I remember that about one from Jim Morrison. It was, you know, come on, baby, light my fire. And I can see him, pastor, kind of playing around during a sermon talking about that.
Oh, yeah.
And he said, that's what it is. That's because that's all they have is fire.
But you know, there's another one that he did that I was thinking about, and really made me wonder. There was a tune called "Riders on the Storm." It said, "Riders on the storm, riders on the storm,
into this house were thrown like a dog without a bone. And something else. I can't remember what the rest of the words were, but here again I'm thinking, man, was he talking about the flood? Or is he talking about when those angels fell and they were thrown into this world and
could
you know,
have been.
Without a bone and,
yeah.
We've and they're said riding many, on the storm then later in the flood?
We've said many times that, you know, that they come up with nothing on their own. What they get is from scriptures. They just know the Bible better than we do.
Yeah, but I'd have trouble thinking that this kid, when he was 19 years old, would have known the Bible better than we do.
Oh, no. No, it's
somebody,
just that
unless
spirit.
Unless some other entity was working in him.
It's that spirit. Absolutely it is. Absolutely.
Yeah.
You know, there was a
spirit.
Yeah, there was a month or two ago, there was a, I saw a little news article, and I printed it, and it was some Hollywood somebody, you know, it had a baby, and they always are, you know, talking about their, they're so infatuated with their bodies and all this kind of stuff, and this was like some secondary actress, but she said, not everybody gets that deal with the devil to just get their perfect body back right after they have a baby. She said, I certainly didn't, and that's a quote. You know,
it's a very unusual quote.
It is, but see, it's the time of harvest. And the tares are standing up straight and tall and proud and haughty. It was just a couple years ago that there was a quote from William Shatner. And he said, well, I stay youthful by drinking the blood of young blonde runaways. Nobody gets upset. Nobody, it doesn't, you know, he just says it. Now, a pastor taught us that we're in a war and we have enemies. And the enemy comes to, what does the Bible say? To steal, kill, and destroy. And the enemy disguises themselves as angels of light when they're angels of darkness. But there's a rule of warfare that they have to tell you what they do. And so what this bastard told us that has been Captain Kirk and done the commercials and always been just an icon in Americana. But what he tells you is, Goyim, when your young blondes run away, we kill them and I drink their blood and it gives me youth and energy. And he's like 80-something years old. They tell us that. They tell us the truth. And,
you know,
and our people
why
go,
also they tell you the truth?
Because
they think they're going to get off the hook if they tell you
that's right.
what they're going to do to you.
Yeah, it's a rule of warfare.
That's part of the spiritual warfare. They're playing a game here that they think that if they tell you and you don't do the right thing about it, then you're guilty and they're not guilty.
Yeah, and then it's a... But you know, their day is coming.
But then again, it actually, to some degree, it actually might be.
It is.
If you have been warned and you sit back and just say, too bad. Well, you are going to be guilty of what's happening then.
Right. And you know, as Ephesians 6 says, we battle not against flesh and blood, but against the spiritual forces of darkness in heavenly places. And there's a time for physical warfare, but right now, in the punishment phases that we're in, it comes, and I think this comes full circle, Tim, back to what we kind of started with you tonight, these seven steps to power in prayer. Pleading before God, bringing up our petition to Him, Perry, you know, on guard. Wait a minute. Well, you know, we can do that. We can defend. We can parry. We can pound and pulverize these bastards, these ungodly antichrists that come to steal, kill, and destroy. We can be angry and sin not, and we can say, Lord, pound and pulverize them. Pardon them not for their sins, because they are your enemy. They come to seek to kill and destroy your people and to wipe out you, and you know they're trying to wipe you, O Lord, off the face of this earth when they've been defeated 2,000 years ago at the cross. So Lord, pound and pulverize them. Pardon them not. We can pray that. That's how David prayed.
Oh yeah,
that's how David prayed. And praise you, Lord. Lord, praise you that you do not, you God Almighty, do not change. You are the same, Lord. You are coming, and when you return back, you have the Lord, your reward for the righteous. And Lord, your recompense for the wicked. and we do that. That's what we should do. That's what every so-called Christian in America, and when they do, there's some great things that are going to happen. The illegals and the foreigners in this land will leave when God's people return to Him and pray like this. The Bible says that. The foreigner, they will return to their land. And those that are ungodly, that thrive on this sin and on this filthiness and these murders and rapes and transgenders and you know, the brainwashing that these enemies have done to our children in the schools.
Oh, it gets worse, you know.
That blood is going to be upon them. And they will not be pardoned. Just like you had said, they can't. Their petition is turned down before God, and they know that. And they will not be pardoned. And so those of you out there that might be listening might think, this is the craziest stuff I've ever heard. It's right out of the Bible. It is. It absolutely is. It is the spiritual warfare that we are in that is manifest in the physical. And, you know, you. That's why we tell you, read your Bible. It's there. Read your Bible and pray.
The brainwashing has been taken up another notch here. You know, with the issue with Target, well, Disney was the big company that was putting the pressure on North Carolina, where they were said they're going to pull out of
right.
out of North Carolina. But then they not only were they doing that, but now they've ramped it up to the next level. They said in this upcoming season, they're going to be taking the most famous and the most well-beloved of the Disney characters, and they're going to be making them gay for the kids for the next season.
Well, you know, the AFA...
They came right out and said it.
Oh, yeah. The American Family, I think is who it is, American Family Association, AFA, had a nice little article out today called When God Uses Target. And you know, it was really good. I give them credit. The blog was co-written by Ray Rooney and AFA Senior VP Buddy Smith, and it was sent out by Bert Harper. And they put some good stuff out there. They're American Family Association, and they've been persecuted for promoting the family from a biblical perspective. And you know, when you notice that within a week, almost a million people have signed this online petition to come against Target. You know, that's something that many of the churches haven't been able to do, to rally the people to say, listen, this is wrong, because the churches aren't standing up. You know, 30 years ago when Pastor Peters was standing up against the topless donut shop, oh, there's all kind of people standing with him. Yeah, we don't want that here. But then when it was coming against sex education in school, which was leading up to transgenderism today, our pastor prophesied that. The churches were nowhere to be found. Oh no, we can't come against that. No, we can't come against the homosexuals. When he stood with, it was him and Christ that stood against the Fort Collins City Council when they wanted to give homosexuals rights, special rights that it's happened now. Now they're a protected class, but when he stood up against it 20 years ago, 25 years ago. He was condemned by the other churches. And look at it now. Look at it now.
But they only wanted it to be accepted, right? And that would be the end of it. Oh, yeah.
Well,
does it ever end?
No, it doesn't. They understand no, and that's it. They understand no. And so when the people say no, okay, when the city, there's a little city in Alabama here. I just saw this. It was Reuters. Is that how you say that? Reuters story?
Yep, Reuters.
Oxford, Alabama. The city council in Oxford, Alabama, God bless them, voted Tuesday to adopt an ordinance that would make it a crime for transgender people to use a public bathroom or changing facility different from the one on their birth certificate. Let me give you a warning, transgenders. What you're doing is sin. Okay, sin is transgression of God's law, whether you like it or not, whether you believe in Him or not. You don't have to believe in air, but it's there. Okay, God is there. And transgender is a perversion. It is an abomination. It is displeasing to God. How about that? How about that? Maybe you'll hear that in your if you go to a Judeo-Christian church. It is displeasing to God. And let me tell you something. The American people, there's almost a million that have signed this petition. And so transgenders, you've been warned. Don't believe the lie. Don't believe that you can sin and get away with it. And so this little city in Oxford, Alabama, is just representative of the mood and the will of the American people. Okay? Now, they may not be reading their Bibles. They may not be going to church every Sunday. Okay? But you're fixing to put the straw on the camel's back that breaks it. And so, you know, I'm not advocating this, but I'm warning you, transgenders, because it's not just the transgenders, but it's the perverts out there that want to get my children and want to get your children and grandchildren, okay? And yeah, that's where it's going to stop. This is where I firmly believe that the once Christian people in this nation are going to say enough is enough. No more.
Now, NASCAR came out yesterday.
No
full
more.
Blown support of the tranny agenda.
Yeah.
It said that they are working behind the scenes to try to undo that law in Carolina.
Yeah. Well, it's like this. It's going to come down to the time of it's going to be the time of Elijah. And when it was Elijah by himself, he thought, anyway, against the 450 priests of Baal. And if it takes a man of God for God to raise up again, a man of God, whoever it may be, to stand against Disney and to say, Disney, you're going to be damned. You keep coming against God like this. And NASCAR, to hell with you, NASCAR, if that's what it takes. If you're going to stand with the tares, you're going to be bundled and burned, so says the Word of God. And ESPN, may God strike you from the face of this earth. May every cable network drop you, if that's what it takes. And so people of America, choose you this day. If you're going to choose the perverts at Disney, and if you're going to choose the whores at NASCAR, hey, I love a good race. But if you're going to whore yourself, I ain't going to have nothing to do with it. And the whores at ESPN. And so if you're going to do that kind of stuff, people of America, if you're going to stand with those, then go stand with them. And when the fire of God, when Jesus Christ returns riding a white horse with a flaming sword to rule with a rod of iron, he will know what side you stand on. In America, if you are going to be ashamed of Jesus Christ, he will be ashamed of you. And it is coming down. It's time to just say no. If God is God, if Jesus Christ and his word is law and he is God, then serve him. If it's the queers and the transgenders and the liars and the adulterers and the whores out there at NASCAR and at Disney and at ESPN and at Target, if that's who you want to serve, then by God, serve them and face the wrath with them. And it's as simple as that. And it's time for the American people to hear this and to make that choice.
Yep. Well, and we see how hypocritical a lot of that stuff is anyways. I mean, I'm pretty sure that Jason and Josh mentioned this on Tuesday night's program, and I think I've mentioned it before too, but it's worth mentioning again. You're only talking about LGBT population numbers of 1%, you know, and of course they want to carry on about democratic rules, which I'm glad, you know, I don't want to live in a democracy, but I live in a republic. But anyways, you look at the democratic issues there, and if that's the case, 1%, all these hoops are being jumped through. All this hell is being unleashed on 1%, you know, because of 1%. It's like I'm pretty sure there's a deeper problem here than that.
Yeah,
you know?
No doubt.
So,
no doubt.
Well, the real agenda behind this is not just to for the queers to have whatever bathroom they want.
No.
This is spiritual warfare. What they're doing is the Balaam attack on you.
Yep.
They're
that's
doing
exactly.
the exact
Absolutely.
Balaam attack.
Because that's what
they
Baal worship was.
No, not Baal. Balaam.
Remember when Balaam came
to
when
curse?
When they asked him to put a curse on the Israelites,
yes.
And he couldn't do it. And what did he do? He went around the back door and he said, okay, I'll get him to sin. And God will
Here's
go down on
do
them
it.
Because of their sin.
Yep.
He couldn't bring the curse down on the Israelites, so he went around the back way and did it that way. And they're using that same principle on you over and over again.
Amen.
And it'll bring God's condemnation down on them.
And it worked then, and it works now.
Oh, sure. They've got 3,000 years of experience doing it to you.
Yeah. Well, hey, Bob, thanks so much for the phone call. Appreciate you calling in and having the interesting comments.
Okay, we'll catch you later.
Thank you.
Bye.
Well, Tim, there went... Well, there's 50 minutes anyway. We're just about done here. I sure appreciate you bringing that up, these seven steps to power in prayer. You know, Tim, like we tell, you know, all the men, if you have a few more notes with that and want to, man, send it to me in an email, I think it'd be a great thing in the newsletter. We're working on volume 4, just about got it done, want to get it out in the people's hands before Branson. And we're getting registrations. The registration for Branson's in that Volume 3 newsletter. And it's also online at scripturesforamerica.org. You can take a look there and get a printout of a PDF. And you can call us here at the office. Not the call-in number, but the office number, 307-742-7582. During business hours during the week. And we can register you online as well. Be glad to do it. Again, thanks, Tim, for being with us. And,
thanks for having me. I enjoyed it.
Sure. And, folks, we thank you for being here with us. We do send that Dragon Slayer newsletter out. If you haven't gotten it or if you don't get it and would like to, then drop us a note. We'll be glad to send it to you. We don't charge for it. Our address, if you want to write, is Scriptures for America, P.O. Box 766, LaPorte, Colorado, 80535. Going to go out with the same Mike Platt J song. Tim, God bless. We'll talk to you later.
People are asking questions about what's really going on. No one's got the guts to tell the truth. Righteousness is taking a stand. Holiness has drawn its line. The righteous will take it by force and push the evil one back this time. In the name of Jesus. Jesus. Pray. It ain't flesh and blood, righteous wars against. It's the evil spirit that's in this world that we totally come against. The only way to win this war is in our churches and in our homes. Praying to the Father in the Holy Ghost in the name of Jesus. Come walking through.